Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our spiritual breakfast. This is our interview segment, or you want to call it our pieces of advice segment, because Mufti Saab, Mufti Muhammad Aqil Saab, mashallah, gives us advice, pieces of advice on this segment. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa
barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, we want to discuss quickly, just before we go into the topic. At nights, we believe you're doing some history program. Can Mufti Saab just outline what's it about?
So basically, alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, we discuss different sahaba kiram, radiyallahu anhum, suitable for Ramadan and suitable for our lives. Sahaba's motivation and guidance and their lifestyle, that pieces of information about different sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, pertinent information about them, that will inspire us for the rest of our lives. And then, inshallah, we're going to go into, after Sahaba's time, there were some historical events that happened in the month of Ramadan. So, after a series of certain pertinent Sahaba, inshallah, we're going to go into the next leg of the discussion, where historical events that happened. So, there's so many, but we're going to choose a few where we can go into detail. So, some would be, for example, Badr. Then we have Fath Makkah. And after Sahaba's time, we have incidents like Ayn Jalut, where, alhamdulillah, that happened in Ramadan, where the Egyptian army, alhamdulillah, defended Islam and defended the lands of Islam against the Mughals. So that's an example of one. So there's many incidents like that in history. Allah help us share, inshallah, towards the end of the series.
Ameen.
So basically,
Ameen.
Historical events, starting from Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, because they are our light and guidance through which deen came to us. And after that, we'll go into other periods of history connected to Ramadan.
Inshallah. That takes place between 9:30 and 10:00. This is correct, Mufti Saab?
Yeah, a little before 9:30, basically about 9:15, they start playing it.
Okay, inshallah. So our listeners can connect on, if you just go on the Marcus Sahaba website, you'll see there's a link there. If you live stream link, if you click on it, you'll be able to pick it up if you don't have a decoder. Mufti Saab, now speaking about these past few days, we've heard the Raweeh, mashallah, we've heard the recitation of the Quran Sharif, beautiful. There's no better feeling. And you just, when you're standing there, you just think, where would there ever be a month where entire Quran, you'll be listening to it, you'll be reading it. This is can only be through the blessings of Ramadan. Mufti Saab, can you open for us and just tell us what has been recited in these past few days?
Oh, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for that opportunity. So these are the first 10 days of Ramadan. So just to crux the theme here, and inshallah in the next Friday, we'll crux the theme of the next 10 juz of the Qur'an al-Kareem. But to crux these chapters, this is what we're listening to, and this is the message of the Quran al-Kareem, and the Quran al-Kareem is a message for humanity. Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim." I quote, "Hadha balaghul linnas." This Quran is a message for humanity. "Hadha balaghul linnas wal yunzaru bihi," and for humanity to be warned through the Quran. "Wal yunzaru bihi wal ya'lamu anna ma huwa ilahu wahid." For humanity to recognize and understand that Allah is one. وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the other objective of the Quran is for the intelligent ones to take admonishment. So yes, coming to the masjid to perform the Taraweeh and to listen to the Quran al-Kareem is very, very pertinent for us. But to also take back a message home for our lives is very, very pertinent. So the first few chapters of the Quran al-Kareem are the longest chapters of the Quran al-Kareem, after Fatiha, of course. Al-Fatiha is revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. But from Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Nisa, Ma'idah, these are the lengthiest chapters of the Quran al-Kareem. And these were surahs revealed in the Medinan stage. In Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak life, there's the Meccan stage and there is the Medinan stage. So these are the surahs we are listening to. Among the pertinent themes here, subhanallah, is Allah teaches us Remember, this is in Medina Munawwara. There's so many of ahkam, so many laws of Sharia revealed here. For example, in Al-Baqarah, we'll see so much of rulings. Yes, alunaka, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you this or they ask you that. This is how you respond to them. They ask you about the kisr, the hilal. This is the response. They ask you about the menstrual cycle. They ask you about expenditure. Imagine, in this chapter also, they ask about the discussion about Ramadan. They ask about the sacred months, and الشهر الحرام. They ask about, in the discussion of Ramadan, Allah brings one of the amazing responses in the Quran al-Kareem. In the discussion of Ramadan, because Ramadan is also discussed in Surah Baqarah. Because Ramadan was gifted to the Ummah in the Medinan stage, meaning the fast of Ramadan, in the Medina stage. In Makkah Mukarramah, there wasn't the Ramadan fast. So in Medina Munawwara, this was gifted to the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what happens here is, the Ramadan is, in the discussion of Ramadan, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Now in the discussion about the fast, and Allah wants it to be easy for you, and Allah doesn't want to make it difficult for you, and Allah mentions how the previous nations also had this action of fasting. Anbiya alayhi salam, all Anbiya alayhi salam did fast. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Allah has gifted you this fast to make it easy for you and not difficult, and you must complete the number, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, fast the entire month. And so that you may proclaim takbir of Allah, call out Allah's grandeur, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهِ, Allahu Akbar, over His guidance that He has gifted you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, and this favor of Ramadan and this fast is so that you appreciate this beautiful favors of Allah. This is a gift of Allah. Ramadan is a gift of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, so this is verses number 185. Then 186 goes into something so pertinent. Then 187 goes back to rules concerning the fast. So look at how beautiful Quran al-Kareem is. In 186, there's a pertinent discussion Quran brings amidst the discussion of Ramadan to teach us how great is this aspect and how more powerful it is in the month of Ramadan. And what is that? Imagine, this is dua. Ayat number 186. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. So generally, there's a lot of rules in Baqarah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you and they ask you. And as you're reading Surah Baqarah, respected Ummah, you take note of this. Yes, alunak, they are asking you. But here, there was also a question posed where Sahaba asked, where is our Allah? Far or near? How do we proclaim? How do we make dua? Loudly, softly. Subhanallah. Here, Allah doesn't respond in this manner by saying, yes, alunak, they are asking you. Because this is a very special question. The question here is about Allah. So in the response, the entire expression of Quran changes. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servants ask you عن me, about me, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, here Quran doesn't even say قُلْ. Here Quran says, "For Allah is responding directly. For indeed, most certainly, I am very near. I respond to the dua. Da'wah is dua. The prayer, I respond to the prayer of the caller, the one praying. إِذَا دَعَانِي, as soon as he asks me. Subhanallah. Now Allah answers our prayers and du'as all the time. But the fact that this is amidst the ayat of fasting portrays a very profound message that du'as are very, very powerful always and much more powerful in the month of Ramadan. Then the Quran says in this verse, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُونِي. So they should respond to my commands and my teachings, what Allah wants from us. وليؤمنوا بي, and they should bring faith in me, iman in me, so that they may be rightly guided. Then the discussion continues about the fast. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ, what is permissible at night concerning the fast and so forth. There's many rules in this chapter. But here, interesting is the fact that Allah says, as soon as you ask about, you pray to me, I listen to you and I grant you. So our every dua is accepted. So this is among, in the first chapter, Al-Baqarah. But I want to rewind a bit to a surah that we're reading in every rak'ah, and that is Al-Fatiha. I'm not going to give the entire meaning, just one incident behind the last verses of Al-Fatiha. There was a man by the name of Adi ibn Hatim. He was a ruler in his area called Tay, very profound area, very near Persia, prominent area. Adi's father was very famous, known for his generosity. So when Islam was reaching these areas, Adi was very upset. He was a prominent Christian. He was known for his Christianity. And he was a leader of his people, and he was a senior Christian as well. So when he heard that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's men, meaning the Sahaba kiram, are coming, he was very upset. So he told his guards, when you hear that they are coming, notify me. And he had his family ready, and his goods and his wealth, lock, stock, and barrel. When the information came to him, instead of meeting the Sahaba, he got very upset and he escaped from there. He said, I'm going to go to the people of my religion. They are going to treat me well. And he took every one of his family members, but he left and basically forgot his sister. And subhanAllah, there's so much of, Allah puts khair in everything. Even if you analyze what's happening in the world, the more the forces of batil try and stop the spread of Islam, their sinister plans always backfire upon them. Allah still gives people hidayat. So here he forgot his sister. So she was brought to Medina Munawwara as a captive. But as we learn throughout the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how were people treated? How they were given the opportunity to see the beauty of Islam. And after some time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very short period of time, he said to her, because he said to her that she is the daughter of Hatim Tai. So he said to her, he left her to benefit from the Sahabiyat, and she was inspired by Islam. And then he said to her, when you know people going to where your brother is, then notify me, I will send you. I'll arrange, make arrangements for you and send you. And after some time, there was that opportunity. And she took leave, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made her ikram and sent her. But she left inspired by Islam. When she met her brother, she was very upset with him. She says, how dare you? You left your sister. You forgot your own sister. How could you? And in that, you know, he was very apologetic that he made that mistake. Then she motivated him to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But don't judge him for what you hear about him. Meet him yourself. And then he undertook this journey and he came to Medina Munawwara. When he came to Medina Munawwara, he says, everyone basically knew me. He didn't know them, but they knew him. He was famous due to the generosity of his father. He says, this is in Musnadul Imam Ahmad. I'm entering Medina and everyone is saying, Adi bin Hatim, Adi bin Hatim. When I got to Masjid al-Nabawi, the beloved of Allah was sitting with the Sahaba in the Masjid and he got up to greet me, meaning to make his ikram. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Adi bin Hatim home. He says, I was amazed at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's approachability, his character, his softness, his politeness, that anyone could come up to him and talk to him, ask him questions. In his house also, the discussion between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Adi was an inspiration to Adi. The akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at home and the discussion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about concerning Christianity and Adi's beliefs. He says he knows so much about my beliefs. And at the end of the discussion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned him of being like the Yahud and the Nasara. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is mentioned in the Quran, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted and explained the meaning of مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, guide us along the straight path. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The path of those whom you have favored, thou has favored, أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But Allah, save us from following and emulating the path of maghdoob alayhim, those who have incurred Allah's wrath. Now this is a lot of adab in the Quran. Quran is not saying, Allah, those who you are angry with, this is out of respect for Allah. Allah, they have earned and incurred your wrath upon them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the Yahud. How is it the Yahud? They know the truth, but they still don't accept it. This is the worst form of reality, where a person knows what is right, but still rejects what is right. Allah Ta'ala save us from that. This is the pinnacle of pride. A person knows, but will still refuse it. Then, walad dhalin, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who go astray are the Nasara. Then in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Ummah, that do not follow Yahud and Nasara. That some would end up following them, that even if they have to go into a gecko's hole, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. That if he goes, لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبِّمْ, if he enters the hole of a gecko, you want to go inside behind him. Now, interesting is the fact that a gecko, an iguana, has a big body, but the hole it digs into the ground is very, very small. As though the hadith is saying that we don't fit in their lifestyle. Our lifestyle is the sunnah. That's what we have to emulate. Anyway, see how interesting is the Quran Kareem. The next chapter, which is Al-Baqarah, like the rulings of Sharia detailed in this chapter, but one of the themes highlighted in this chapter is concerning the Jewish community. The Jewish community, now you heard this in the Quran, you heard this in the Taraweeh already, so much to do with the Jewish community. Ya Bani Israel, repeatedly, Ya Bani Israel, Ya Bani Israel. And the chapter also mentions towards the end of the Para 2 about Dawood alayhi salam, how he killed Goliath. All this is a message to the Jewish community, because they were residents in Medina Munawwara, that this is the Nabi of Allah prophesied in their books. In the beginning of the second Jews, Allah Ta'ala mentions that they recognize my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they recognize their own children. So they knew about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is described in their books. That's why this is a chapter that we should also read and learn from there. What's the next chapter? Sometime later, in the Medinan stage, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote a letter to a Christian community, a huge land of Christians in Najran. When they received Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's letter, it had such an impact on them that the senior bishop who received the letter, he called for all the priests, all the leaders, all the prominent people, that what is this letter about? And this entire detailed incident is in Tafsir ibn Kathir. With the sanad, with the report, he mentions this incident under Surah Ali Imran. And Mawlana Yusuf rahimahullah brings this incident in Hayatul Sahaba volume 1 under Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter to the Najran people. And this report is the report of Salama bin Abd Yasur, who was a Christian and then embraced Islam. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote this letter to my people, and this was an early letter. That's where this letter started. Normally letters would start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This letter started with Bismi Ilahi Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub. And look at the wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling them that this is the same Allah I speak of, that Ibrahim alayhi salam worshipped, Ishaq alayhi salam worshipped, Yaqub alayhi salam worshipped. This is a letter from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now it's a lengthy incident. You can refer to the incident in the sources that I have given you. But here when this message comes to them, this ruler then calls his people that he trusted. Different names, different titles are mentioned in the report. And he gathered them and he asked them, what do you all feel? And they realized that this is the letter from the man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prophesied in our books. He is the Nabi of Allah. That's when they prepared a delegation of 60 people, 14 prominent people, and they undertook this journey and came to Medina Munawwara. Now there's a lot of historical events of what happened when they came to Medina Munawwara. And when they asked about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and then verses of Surah Ali Imran were revealed, teaching Muslims how to give da'wah to the Christians. So what you've just heard in the Taraweeh now, Quran is teaching you, O Ummah, how to invite Christians to Islam, what to tell them, how to invite them, how to explain to them, how to give them parables. Not only in Surah Ali Imran, a lot of Surah Nisa discusses the same. And then the chapter after Nisa is Al-Ma'idah. You are busy listening to Al-Ma'idah now in the Quran-e-Kareem. Allah is telling us to tell the Christians about Islam in Al-Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah is one of the last chapters to be revealed in Medina Munawwara. But what does Al-Ma'idah mean? It means the final supper, the tablecloth Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asked Allah for as a miracle. But there's so much of profound messages of inviting in Ma'idah, lots to invite Christians and Jews to Islam. So this is what you've heard in most of the chapters up to now in the month of Ramadan. Even Al-Baqarah, about 50% of the discussion was the Jewish community, besides the rules that are mentioned, like the Kaaba and facing the Qibla and so forth, that we've discussed some of those rulings of Sharia. But in Surah Ali Imran and then Nisa has a lot to do with matters and rules concerning the women folk and the children and the inheritance, because it was like the middle time, just prior to the mid-Medinan stage after many of the expeditions. Because Ali Imran, the second half of Ali Imran details the expedition of Uhud. And the expedition after Uhud, connected to Uhud, was Hamra'ul Asad. It's all detailed there. Nisa is after those expeditions where so many Sahaba lost their lives. What happens to the inheritance and women folk and so forth and so forth. Ma'idah also details many rules of Sharia concerning hunting and many ahkam of Sharia. But this is a theme highlighted in this chapter concerning inviting the Christians to Islam. So I want to mention what happened here in this incident of this letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now they came to Medina Munawwara. The matter was now presented to them about the truth. They weren't prepared to accept it. Then there was a matter to start called Mubahala, a curse. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling them, Allah has sent me. Now you should accept the truth. Then there was a challenge of a curse, that the one who is on falsehood be cursed by Allah. They gathered and said, you know what? This is Allah's man. If we're going to go into this challenge with him, we're going to be finished. We can't. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out with his family members and his grandchildren and his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And they said, no, we're not prepared to do this with you because we know we'll be finished. We accept whatever decision you make. Send us an honest man. That's when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent with them Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah into the area. And when Sahaba would go into the area, so he went with the task of collecting the jizya from them. And Sahaba would propagate Allah Ta'ala's deen. Their every move was propagation of Allah Ta'ala's deen. But in this, something else very interesting happened. That as they were returning, the senior priest's brother, his name was Bashir, and his title was Abu Alqama. When they were returning, en route to their town, his camel tripped. And as it tripped, he swore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, in his own self. Just the words came out, cursing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This report is mentioned. وَهُمَا يَسْتِرَانِ إِذْ كَبَتْ بِبَشِيرٍ نَاقَتُهُ فَتَعْسَ بَشِيرٌ. He cursed the beloved of Allah without any inference, but directly, غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَكْنِي, directly, referring to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, cursing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His brother, the bishop, said, what is wrong with you? Are you disrespecting Allah's Nabi, a Nabi sent by Allah? So his brother is telling him, but are you sure he is the Nabi of Allah? Then I should go there. I should go back to him. I will not stop my journey until I go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he turned his camel in the direction of Medina, returning to Medina Munawwara. That bishop came in front of his brother again and stopped him. He says, please understand, I had to do that. No, I'm not telling you, it's not actually what I'm saying now, but you do not go by him. So Bashir is telling his brother, now you're thinking and talking to me. You're not talking from your heart. I am going. And he rendered words of poetry saying, إِلَيْكَ تَغْدُو قَلِقًا وَضِينُهَا مُعْتَرِضًا فِي بَطْنِهَا جَنِينُهَا مُخَالِفًا دِينَ النَّصَارَى دِينُهَا. And in these words, he's saying, I'm leaving the way of Christianity. That's not the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. I'm going with my camel. And in my camel is an offspring. And he goes and he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he embraced Islam. And he remained in the company, the Mubarak company of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he left this world. The same delegation now arrives in Najran. They went to meet one of their other senior rabbis, Atar Rahiba. And this Rahib, when he was hearing the story of their journey and what happened and how the one of them embraced Islam, he says, take me out of my monastery, otherwise I'll suffocate. Take me out. And he also prepared a journey and he went to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reports don't mention what happened thereafter, but he went to meet our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my point of this discussion is that in this, there's detail in these chapters on how to invite and deal with the Christian community and how to invite them to Islam. Now imagine Surah Ma'idah is a chapter named after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's prayer to Allah, him and his companions, where Allah blessed them with this tablecloth that came from the skies. And it was a miracle of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In Al-Ma'idah, from verses 64 onward, mention of certain false proclamations of the Jews is in these verses. What the Jews say about Allah, that na'udhu billah, Allah is miserly, and the Quran Kareem responds to that and refutes their statements. And Allah Ta'ala then mentions to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in verses 67, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Convey the full message of Allah. Invite these people to Islam. And if you do not, that means you are not conveying his message. Allah will protect you from the people. And the verses continue right till the end of Ma'idah, where the detailed discussion of the supper is there. After Al-Ma'idah, because Ma'idah is so profound, right at the end also, where the dua of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is mentioned, and where Allah asks Hazrat Isa alayhi salam on Judgment Day, that did you tell them to take me and my mother as gods besides Allah? And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam refuses that on Judgment Day in front of all those who worshipped him. So that's that chapter. Then comes a Makki surah of Quran Kareem, and this is Suratul An'am. Suratul An'am is the first Makki surah from in the Quran Kareem after Al-Fatiha. So An'am and A'raf are Makki surah. Soon you'll be hearing that in the Quran Kareem also. There's many, many beautiful discussion in the Makki surah, in this Meccan beautiful surah of the Quran Kareem. Alhamdulillah. But among the themes here is also Anbiya alayhi salam, An'am and A'raf. Now, interestingly, after a Madinan surah, when a Makki surah comes, it starts with the praise of Allah. As we see, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We have to finish our discussion, but we'll notice in the Makki surahs, An'am and A'raf, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so many beautiful things about the greatness of Allah in this Meccan surah. This is revealed in Makkah, and this is what Sahaba used to learn in Makkah Mukarramah. And in this comes the beautiful story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he invited his community to Allah, how he invited idolaters to Allah, sun worshippers, moon worshippers, star worshippers, how he spoke to them. And towards the end of the Jews, the seven Jews, it's so profound. Read the meaning about the greatness of Allah. Badi'u samawati wal ard, verses 199 onward, subhanAllah. And actually even before that, Allah's greatness, Allah's glory, admire Allah's beauty, admire the beautiful creations of Allah, the fruit, and all that, subhanAllah, so profound. And like that, that's this Meccan surah, An'am and A'raf. A'raf discusses details of different Anbiya alayhi salam, but at the end of A'raf, after mentioning different Anbiya alayhi salam, it culminates with this verse where Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Nabi is special, you are more special, because you are sent for humanity in totality. So basically that's the crux of this first surahs of the Quran Kareem. Allah accept us all to fulfill our duty in taking the message of the Quran Kareem and giving it to the world. Jazakumullah Azad Maulana for the opportunity.
Ameen. To all those du'as, to all the advice, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice. Jazakumullah khairan Mufti Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From us in the team, we say Jazakumullahu khairan to you, O listener. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.